Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
Huh? If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Yeah, I was trying to, I don't know if you can hear me well enough or not.
Yep. You're great.
Okay.
We got Lori Shoplin on.
Oh, there she is. Hey, Laura. I don't know if she can hear us or not. It's slow-mo waving.
She's got slow-mo waving.
Which means she's probably got a shitty connection.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that looks like
this might be the only moment that we're faster than Lori.
This will be the only moment we are faster than Lori. It might be.
If you're dialing in, this is the only moment that Kenny Vannucci and I will be faster than Lori.
This is it.
While she's sorting out her internet.
Whatever, we're crushing her right now. That's pretty factual. Killing it.
Oh my god.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm good. It's I've got lots of shit to do tonight, but no, I feel good.
Yeah. No, same. Same. Just stuff. Got lots of stuff going on. I got the regular work, and then I got all the part time gigs, and then the global pet stuff you and I were talking about today.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking about that yesterday. So this morning I got up and I started working on it.
Yeah.
I worked on it a little bit the other day.
Yeah.
And then you texted or emailed, and I thought, "Ah, shit! I better get back on this." So I started working at it this morning, dude. You know what it's like, right? It's all upstairs, but it's just a matter of getting it down on paper.
No, you just gotta translate it, and then I'm gonna reach out to a bunch of the global pet speakers and see if somebody wants to jump on the show. Lori Shoplin,
there she is.
Hello.
Hey, you're back.
It's just a lousy connection.
Yeah.
Could it do that we're having a winter storm right now, perhaps, out here in
Lincoln? Oh, that's right. We just got home.
What are you talking about? Have no
idea. Oh, my God. This is Vancouver. Oh, yeah, for us, it's a winter storm. Yeah. Well, she's on Langley, too, eh? So they get more winter like you.
Well, we did get, the last 2 days, we've gotten something like 45 or 50 millimeters of rain.
Wow.
Which is like, in 2 days, it's more than like a full month of rain. Is the equivalent.
Wow. And how much snow have you gotten, Lori?
Probably about 10 centimeters right now.
We had about 5 or 6 the other morning.
Yeah.
Then today, last night, it snowed a bit again, another maybe 2 or 3, pretty much melted away. And then this evening, we just got back from my mom and dad's and it was snowing again and sticking.
Wow.
So I don't know.
3 Canadians complaining about snow.
We're Vancouverites. We should not have snow. That's an Ontario problem. That's definitively not our issue.
We actually, so funny enough, you guys got snow and we got rain.
Exactly. That's a lot of rain too.
Yeah.
Five centimeters of rain is a lot of rain.
We flooded out the bottom of the Gardner and like they had a shutdown.
I'm not surprised.
All sorts of stuff.
Plus, you guys still have a lot. Do you guys have any snow kicking around still or is it pretty much?
No. It's all gone right now. But and then everything froze, right? Like, yeah, so yesterday it rained, and then it was like minus 16 today. So we pretty much all decided, you know what? We're all just going to stay home and not do anything. So
yeah, she might struggle tonight.
Yeah, Lori Shoplin? Before you got on, Kenny and I were just saying, you know, that at that moment, you did a slow-mo wave, so you literally did one of these and then stopped.
And then I went da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. And then we went, oh, this is the only moment that we're going to be faster than Lori. We're smarter than Lori. It's that moment.
Crushed it, man. Like a whole minute. Killed it.
If you only knew. I was saying, I get coached every week, but I thought of both of you because I was working with my coach and... Yeah. I got my ass kicked. Like it was hilarious. So I was thinking,
I don't think I want to meet your
coach. I don't think that's possible.
I'm alarmed. Lori's coach.
Give us a couple highlights to make us feel better. How could you get your ass kicked?
Yeah.
Well, it was just so interesting, is it's been something I've been working on for a while, and it's money, like my money mindset, my business.
Yeah.
And all that
stuff. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she just kind of helped me see a thought that I had, and it had been there for so long, and I just believed it to be such a fact. And as soon as, you know, the light bulb moment went off, right, and it's recorded, and it's so funny because I've caught both of you guys of like, oh, yeah, gosh, right? And damn. I was like, yeah. Oh, damn, that, there it is, right? So, yeah, it was, so I humbly say, just what I give, I get, right? So, just so you know.
Wow. No, yeah. But that's amazing, okay. Right? You got to have aha moments.
That means everybody
moments,
you learn,
right?
Everybody has to learn.
Yeah, aha moments are where you learn, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. My goodness. So this is the third edition.
It is.
The third WWLD.
Yeah.
We are excited to have you. I'm very sorry about the other night. That was
me.
That's my fault.
No, it wasn't yours because Kenny said, we're stuck. And then I said, no problem. And then I was supposed to message you and I didn't. And then I got caught out that night. So had I scheduled it for us, I would have had to bail anyway. But then I totally forgot to like.
Oh, you didn't tell Lori.
No, I totally forgot.
Oh, no, just that's Lori. That's all Phil. Sorry.
So poor Lori. I thought about the original cast.
Oh, no. Waiting. All the miscommunication is all Phil.
Yeah, no, that's my fault. That's me. That's 100% me. So, yeah.
I just caused the date problem.
I just sat here. I thought maybe I'd offended you, you know.
You could never offend us. You literally could never offend us. Never.
No, never, my never. God.
Uh-uh.
Oh, no. It'd take quite a bit to offend us, really.
No, we don't have any feelings. You already know that. So there's no way to offend us. So.
That's what you keep saying. I think I have feelings.
Kenny has none.
Bullshit. I've got some somewhere.
Yes, none.
I just don't know where they are right now.
He has none whatsoever.
Shut up. I do so. I can cry in movies. I feel bad.
No, I don't believe you. Oh, you were so a buyer. I don't even believe you have tears, period. I think those plans closed up a long time ago. So
that's so just uncalled for. I think you need coaching. I really do.
Okay, wait. Before Lori starts, Lori, you had a story for us, right? Because you had said to me that there was something that you thought our listeners could benefit from.
Yeah, well, it was me having this aha moment. So I thought, being an entrepreneur myself, right? I run my own business. And so year end, we always kind of look over, you know, year to date and back what we could have done differently and everything. And that's kind of what I was reviewing with my coach. And what was interesting is, you know, I come from a place and I always coach from a place that you can create your results. And if you don't have the results that you want in your business, we just work backwards. And it simply, it really comes down to the thoughts that you're having, right? Because it just run a model, the thoughts create you to feel a certain way. And that from that feeling, you're going to do the actions required. And so I've been working on this money mindset kind of thing. And then it popped right out at me that I literally had this belief, or I'd been telling myself this story, that I am a very relational person. I love building my business on meeting people and then growing relationship. Mm-hmm. So when I reviewed my numbers, I could see I had over 40% more clients than I had planned for last year. Okay. So what would you think should have been the result financially?
40% more revenue.
Right? Like
you would hope it'd be kind of like that, somewhere in there, whatever.
Yeah.
Even if it's just, even if it's only 20, you're just a little bit nicer. Maybe they needed some help.
Substantial increase, yeah.
If you went backwards, even I'll start yelling at you.
Well, here we go. I got my ass kicked. I really did, because I unearthed a belief that was underlying of, I'm watching Bill Faith going, what? But I have this belief that in order to have the money and the revenue, it meant that it would jeopardize relationships for me. And my brain then went and provided ample opportunities and evidence to support people that I know that have great potential for revenue and have miserable relationships. And it was more relationships for family and spouse, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And it was just this nut that was cracked. And I thought, I've been telling myself that forever. And anytime, so imagine, so for your listeners, if you have a thought and a belief that, you know, you can't have money, or money is, you can't have money and relationships at the same time. And my desire is to have relationships. I thought that I had to pick that one over money. Holy crackers. That's exactly what I did. Right. So I just meant that I would discount my fees, or I would give like all of this stuff. It just, the math didn't add up, and it all came back down to the thoughts and the beliefs that I had. So huge lightning strike.
Wow. And
bring on 2020.
Wow.
That is, but that is like, that's something that I'll do as well. Right. Either it's a relationship thing, or it's a belief that to drive enough value all the time, I'll cut a discount on, you know, some of the services I offer. Do you know what I mean? Or you know, and you believe like, oh, you know what, like I'm working hard for clients. So, you know, if I shave off an hour here or two, or, you know, I'm doing something, I think Kenny and I talk about this all the time, right? Is that, you know, we say, hey, it's going to take us 6 hours, but at the 6 hour mark, you're kind of going, you know, it's pretty good, but it could be better. And you drop another 4 hours into it.
Yeah.
It is a result that mathematically that would look like yours, right? Where,
yeah. Well, know, and that's like where this, I thought, yeah. I'm not alone in this. I just could very clearly say not. I had so many clients, and here was my revenue. Right. And if I increase my clients, well, then it would make sense that my revenue increased. And it wasn't, it didn't equal
not
that.
Proportional. Yeah.
And I thought, wait a minute, what? And so she just helped me unpack the thoughts that I had. Yeah. And it was like, holy crap. And as long as I held that thought and belief that money is, it's either one or the other, right? Well, then of course, for me, I'm going to choose my relationships. Like that's what I'm going to choose.
I think a lot of us would. I think a lot choose the money. We know that for sure. But I think a lot of us actually do choose the relationship. But I mean, I'm sure you deserve to get your ass kicked on that one. Sorry,
but then here's,
you probably
but here's
did. It's because at the end of the day, nobody's going to go anywhere. If they want your help and they like what you're doing, you know, people will pay. You don't have to.
Oh, I know.
You can always treat somebody. That's nice, but you don't have to. You don't have to discount what you do. I mean, they can go elsewhere and pay three times.
Exactly. And here's the thing, though, is that as long as I held that belief, then that was going to be continuously the result that I'm getting in my business over and over again. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm just so excited. Like literally my husband was home and I burst into his office and I'm like, hot diggity. Like I've just cracked a nut here because
he's singing hot diggity. It just cost us a holiday. Where the hell's the money?
Did you say, by the way, Jimmy, your rates are going up double?
Let me tell you.
She should have gone and said, Jimmy, what happened? That revenue is behind. It's on your side, obviously.
Jimmy.
Because I know what I'm doing. I just walk out. But, you know, you would have frazzled him anyway. You would just rattle this cage.
Yeah.
He would have taken the blame anyway. It's all good.
But here's the thing. And I think for your listeners to read, and even for all of us, what are the beliefs that we have about making money, what value we have, whether or not people, you know, are paying us, are we offering the value, are like all of this stuff is such goodness, because especially for entrepreneurs, we set our own scale as to what we're going to charge. And if we are having this underlying belief that we aren't, I mean, it gets down to really the crux of not good enough, worthy enough. But if it really gets down to, I had this little belief that I was literally pushing money away because I had this unconscious belief that, wait a minute, I don't want it to jeopardize a relationship here. And so I was pushing it away. And so I'm working now on creating and believing a new belief. And let me tell you, that takes work, right? Because my brain for 50 years has gone over here to this one. So I'm creating this new one. And why I wanted to mention is I thought of you guys while I was getting coached because of my aha, and I thought, oh, I've seen these faces before. But then I know that all of us are in the same boat, that if we're not getting, if we don't have at the end of the day, the revenue that we want, it's really, you can go back and find where it is that we are getting in our own way with the thoughts that we're having.
Oh, it's 100% that. You can't blame your revenue issues on your clients. You own all the revenue stream.
Yeah.
It's either you don't have enough clients or you're not charging your clients enough.
Yeah.
But it's, I hate to tell. Yeah. I mean, we're in the same boat. It's, I mean, yeah. And I do like both of you. I mean, I like I'm doing one next week. I'm going to give him a better rate. And right now, cause I also know he's a startup. I know they're cash strapped and, you know, quite frankly, I just really want to help them. Mm. So it doesn't bother me per se. I mean, it's really, you know, at the end of the day, it'll either come back in a monetary form, or it'll come back that he's going to crush it and I'll feel good about helping him. Yeah. Or, you know, who knows what you get out of it. Right. I'm not like, I know going in where I'm going to be at. It's not bothering me. Do you know what I mean? I know where I'm going to be, and it's no big deal.
And I would just offer the difference, I think, for me was that I, like, Kenny, you like your reason for doing it. Totally fine. Whereas mm-hmm. I was getting there and I just didn't get to that place. Mm-hmm. I just found that I was underselling myself.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. You should have just talked to two of us. We would have told you to probably double up.
I just want
I mean, we're not paying you, just so we're very clear. This is a freebie.
I knew this was going to happen. I was putting myself out there. I'm like, the coach is going to get her ass kicked here. I know.
Phil, we're not paying though, right? We're clear on that, right? Everything we get is a total freebie.
There you go. There you go. See? There you go. I love it. But it comes down to because even as you had said, as long as I like my reason for doing it.
Yeah, you do it. If you're good with it, do it. I mean, there's no big deal. But don't do it because don't do it because you don't think you're worth the money. Don't do it because you think, oh my God, this person's never going to talk to me again. That's, you're right. That's silly talk. I mean, but we all have that because I think that's a legit fear. I think we all feel that way. You're worried. I mean, I don't want to lose a friend for $25 an hour, but you know what? Quite frankly, I probably wouldn't have lost that friend for $25 an hour.
So I'm right? stuck a little bit on this one because I'm like, I like the two of you, right? I'll do all sorts of things, you know, at discounted prices. But I think as I'm looking back, the reason I do it, I'm usually happy with the reason I've done it, right? But I think the part that sticks with me a little bit, that for me would be an uncomfortable space, but I think I'm going to try and do it, is I think they need to know that that's what I'm doing. Cause I think back, do you tell them that you're giving them
this is what I would normally charge per hour.
Okay.
Right. Cause a lot of times mm-hmm. with people that don't, the people that are just starting up or let's say new to business and they don't know that if you were to go out and phone a, kind of let's say real consultant, not that we're faking it, but if you were to phone downtown office on Bloor or downtown,
if you called
Georgia,
Deloitte and Touche, or you called Gartner, or you called one of these guys, yeah, you'd
that's it. And the clock starts on the minute.
Yeah.
You phone people
you
like 50 us.
Minute
I mean,
increments and you know, yeah.
You know, so if a rack rate for, if I tell people I charge $150 an hour, let's say that's what I charge. That's, you know, for the most part, that's what I charge. But at the end of the day, I'm like you, like if it's a friend, it's not to maintain the friendship. It's more because I just know their positions usually. And I don't want to be the cash flow issue of their world at this point. And that's usually when I'm pretty clear. If it starts to grow and do well, I tell them, say, listen, you know, my rate will change as your rates change.
Mm. Yeah.
You start doing better than I expect to go for the ride.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, I have no problem putting a little bit of sweat equity or sweat into it. I'm not gonna do it for $25 an hour. But you know, whatever. So if it's over 75 or it's 100, mm-hmm. it's a short term, mm-hmm. and you're helping them out. Big deal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Lori. Don't be delusional and think that you know you're looking at your numbers and think, okay, I've got I had 100 clients last year, I got 150 this year. I should have gone from 1,000 to 1,500. Like if you went to 1,000 to 1,000, yeah. I mean, you've not only discounted the new people, you discounted all the old people.
Yeah.
Like you just discounted all over the place.
Yeah.
So well, you filled the plate more and you discounted everybody. Like, you know, well, that's.
Here's the beauty of it too. Two really good books that I read was one is called The Prosperous Coach and talking about how, to your point, all of our points of, I think that's why we love and probably our listeners are listening is because on the, here, you guys are just giving value out constantly. That's
your try to.
To mm-hmm. be able to do, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't, there's no monetization to it. You just are doing this because you believe in moving that forward. So right. there's a cycle to that. So when I talk about the revenue part, it's not the fixation on the money. And I think that that's where I struggled with before was, well, money's bad because it's going to take away this desire to be able to help people. And that's in the industry that I'm wanting to do. And it was that belief that was holding me back stepping forward, going, well, wait a minute, right? Like, and it's interesting because the clients that I have, I was even challenged by my coach of, well, is it fact that all of my clients actually think that a discount's a good thing, right? Like, wait a minute, they actually might not take it as seriously and put in all of the work they need to do to get the full value of their own transformation if they think, well, you know, she didn't think it was worth charging so much, so I'm not sure I'm actually going to do this.
Exactly.
Right.
So maybe is it possible that actually discounting might actually not be the most prosperous thing and generous thing to do to that client, because then they're not actually stepping into all of the belief in themselves in order to be able to.
They can.
Right?
They can for some. And for others, it's just basically you're just going to enable them to take advantage of you.
Yeah.
But again, you've allowed it. So I'm not picking on the client. This is our doing.
It's totally mine.
We own this.
Completely mine.
That's okay. But I mean, at that point too, then to me, I think you just run yourself into it. It's like trying to save a personal relationship by over giving, or, you know, it's a 75-25 relationship or whatever the numbers you want to do. Is that only works as long as you're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do get to the point where you start to slowly resent it, I mean, you're going to lose the friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, you know, losing a friendship for friend reasons is different. I wouldn't want to lose a friendship for money reasons.
Yeah.
Like that's, I don't know. It's not, I'd rather just not do the work than have to discount the hell out of it, 'cause I'm worried about keeping a friend. I mean, if they're really your friend, they also know that this is, you know, there's no pensions here, right? This is it, man. This is how we eat. And if we don't do this, I mean, we just don't.
Yeah.
Or Jim just has to work more. One thing. And really none, Phil and I don't care about that. Really, we think Jim should work more. So there you go. How's that? You're all good, Lori. It's not yours.
Jimmy.
Give it to Jimmy. It's all his problem.
Jimmy, you have to come back on the show. We keep beating you up. Poor guy. But not tonight. Not tonight.
Give him a fair chance to one of these days, right? I will see. Let's not overpromise and underdeliver on that one, Phil.
But you know what? I do love that. I love that call. Like I love that idea that you've got to, you know, cause I don't do that. Like I definitely don't, I don't let them know that I've discounted necessarily.
I didn't put on the invoice, Phil.
Do you really?
Absolutely. Okay. I've got, there's an hourly column and there's a discount column.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I mean, unless I'm flat rating you.
Right. Yeah.
And then I don't typically worry too much about it. Cause I create that part of my world. So if I'm good with it, I'm good with it. But I definitely don't think it's offensive to show people, excuse me, what you're worth. But to Lori's point, what you don't want to do is you don't want to, you know, it'd be like you buy a car or a house. The house is $1 million, and you know, the guy sells it for $800,000. First inclination is you think, okay, what's wrong with it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are they discounting it? Like, what happened? Is there something you're not telling me? Like, I'd almost rather pay a premium.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I got something. I get discounted. I'm thinking, well, like, and especially when it's people, like, it's if it's between the ears kind of commodity.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I don't mind paying for that.
That's what I have been looking, going, well, if I'm not standing in the full belief of the prices that I've come, for one, that's my own confidence and belief. So then how can I then say,
absolutely,
oh, you want to hire me to actually, you know, help you create more confidence in yourself when I'm actually not standing in that myself. Again, exactly. Like all of this had so many layers to it. It was like,
for sure,
crackers. So yeah,
you don't have to be obscene. You don't have to go and charge downtown rates. I mean, you don't have to be an animal either. Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I think for the most part, honestly, if you went up through all your client base and they're all probably friends now, is that they would all probably tell you the same. Yeah. I mean, Lori, I would have probably paid you more, but you know, you set a price. Mm-hmm. So I paid it.
Yeah.
I bet you none come back to you and say, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Mm. And isn't it funny though, that And again, as we were doing this and unpacking, this is the Lori's getting coached class, so you guys can help me on this. But it's just so funny, even as you said it, of friends, because of course, even for any of your listeners, that's probably where they start out first, is friends and family, right? Mm-hmm, and if you already have that mentality that friends relationships doesn't equal full value, then how do you step into ever finding your full value and making that actual ask or proposal or whatnot? Where do you ever get that practice to be able to do that and start to develop and build on that belief, right? It should actually be our family that's saying, hot damn, I'm going to pay full value for this. And how can we, what thought do we have to have in order to stand in that to say, yeah, and I'm totally comfortable charging you full price, right? Yeah. Because here's the thing, and if this was fascinating, somebody else had mentioned this to me, because then I get in there going, I mean, you guys know my history. I spent 20 odd years in the not-for-profit world raising money.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden I had brought a little bit of that over to Lori Shoplin coaching, right? I'm like, oh, well, I'll just be philanthropic and I'll just give it away over here and over
here. Pro bono.
And yet somebody had said, when you walk into McDonald's and you go up and you order your Big Mac and your pop, you don't go there to negotiate. You know what the prices are. And then McDonald's, from their revenue, can then decide. They're a very generous and philanthropic organization.
Absolutely.
And they go and make those contributions by the revenue that they've actually brought in by the store value of the products, or the products they've sold.
Right.
And that helped me kind of get to that place as well. If I want to continue to be generous in that regard, then I can totally do that. But it doesn't mean I have to do it on my face value of the product that I'm actually selling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's also why I know a lot of people that are sort of in our space, is why a lot of them actually don't go to friends and family first. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of them will go to contacts, friendly contacts, but they won't necessarily go to friends and family. And for those reasons, because you just have this propensity on friends and families, like they're doing you the favor.
Yeah.
And in some ways, yeah, I mean, it's thank you for hiring me, but the favor on my side is that, sure, go out there and take a look what's in the real world. And you'll come back and understand that actually, even at full pop, I gave you a favor.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, really. I mean, and at the end of the day, they should also know that I'm probably going to work a lot harder for them than I might for others. Do you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, people should just pay what you deem what you're worth, and you let the market decide whether that's acceptable. Don't go out and discount it, right? Nobody walks into McDonald's and says, you know what, the Big Mac's not worth $4. I think I'll give you $3. You know, McDonald's has said, listen, we sell billions of these. The market is determined that we're definitively worth our money.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, there's a lot of other options out there.
But
and
isn't people still that, go back. But isn't there, like if you rewind for all three of us, there is a point in your life that, you know, I'm thinking about when I first started, you know, I got out of Hubba, I first started really doing the consulting thing. I know what my skills are, but there is, you know, one, there's an element of, you know, gosh, I got to make some money. And then two is, gosh, I'm fairly sure I'm like 99% sure that the skills I have are real and legitimate, but there's always a tiny bit of like, yeah, I think I'm as good as I say I am, right? And I wonder if, you know, some of this, the root cause is in there, right? Is that there's that kind of like 0.5% or 1% that holds over from, you know, the days of, oh, I'm doing this for real now. I better be worth the money, right?
And I'd then give we that to you, Phil, if this was week one. Yeah. Right. We all did at the beginning. I didn't go out with it. I took a look at what I was making at LD.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, because I don't have all these things and because I'm not full time, I need to make this number to make sense. Yeah, what's it based on? Nothing to do with the marketplace because I didn't research it. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with anything outside of what I thought I needed to get going.
Yeah.
Once you go out there and you start asking people, you start seeing what other people are providing or whatever, you know, that's, you know, the reason I'll pick on Lori again is if this was the first week, I'd cut her some slack. Lori's been coaching for a little while now. Mm-hmm. Lori definitively knows that she's worth something.
Yeah.
And she definitively knows it wasn't the same amount that it was 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. You know that about your skill set. I've learned that about mine. Right? Because I was very non-confident in what I knew or could provide because I just assumed everybody knew what I knew.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's big deal. Like if I go in at a number, they'll just find someone else. Once you start, what you start to learn is, well, first off, there's not a lot of people that know what you know, no matter what you think. It's not a huge pool. Many, many people are either very, very expensive, won't give the personalized service, et cetera. You know, so there's a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, first week, first year, I understand that. You're trying to get some cash flow. You've got to get things going. You can't be an animal and go charge, again, downtown rates. But once you get going, but come on, guys. So we know what that point
we're worth. I understand that. And like you're right. The business side of the math makes sense. All I'm saying is that there's a little emotional pocket of holdover, right? That you kind of like, and I think friends and family are they don't do it on purpose. And I don't mean to suggest that at all. I just think that they're the perfect intersection for that tiny bit of that 0.5% of insecurity plus.
Here, I think where it really jumped off for me was that because of the programs that I run with my clients, I build relationship with them. So if I never got and really evaluated the foundational thought that I had that I can't charge friends full value, then my clients are becoming my friends. So I'm working with clients and then they want to re-sign again for another program for 12 weeks.
Right.
And I all of a sudden have these thoughts going, oh, wait a minute. Oh, then I should discount their second set
because
they're now friends.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is really, really getting down and looking, what are my beliefs about charging and as long as you like them and they're working for you, it was not working for me, right? Yeah. Because all of a sudden I had more clients, I was more successful, but I wasn't seeing it on the yet, right?
When you do a McDonald's test, remember.
Yeah.
They don't give you a free coffee on the second, it's on the 8th.
Mm.
Wait till the 8th. At that time, if you want to do your discount on the 1-1-1-1 on the 8th,
Kenny,
you
can that's do that. Very wise.
Yeah. Well, hey, you want to use McDonald's? That's the example. They don't discount. Yeah. They don't say, hey, Phil, I saw you yesterday. Thanks for coming back. Here's a half-price coffee. You know what they say? I'll give you a stamp.
I didn't hear any of that. All I heard was your first piece of advice, and I thought, that's incredibly insightful.
Once in a while. You know what it is?
Lori, I read what's happening here?
Digital minimalism. I've got more thinking time.
I don't understand what's happening on this podcast. First, Lori has a coaching moment.
Well, first, Lori has a problem, which thought Lori had problems. Kenny, seriously? Well,
no. Who thought that Lori needed a coach, period?
Well, exactly. And then, I mean, a coach getting coached.
And then she got her butt kicked. Who thought that would happen? And then she had a coaching moment in there. Who thought that would happen? And then you get wise all of a sudden.
Wow.
And it's snowing in Vancouver and it's raining in Toronto. This podcast is Armageddon. Up. I don't understand at all.
This is Armageddon.
What the hell is going on here?
Oh, it's a good time. It's a good time.
So I think for listeners, if you're a listener and you found value in this, you should let us know. But I think like that's the thing, right? Is I think you should be out there testing, right? Like I heard a whole bunch of things that I think you should digest. Like one is the analytics at the end of the year of look like how many more clients did you have? Did you turn in the revenue you thought you would? You know, in Lori's case, she had 40% more clients, but the same revenue number that she thought she'd hit. Right. So that's an alarm bell, right? So if your business and you're turning in numbers like that, you should look. And then I think there's the whole thing here around dynamic and value equations and friends and relationships, right? That you got to look at, like.
Well, and I would also offer, like, how many of us originally would do that year-end analysis and then go, okay, I have to just do more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
First thing. Well, the first thing you would do. Absolutely.
Because that's our, again, we think, well, in order to get something, we have to do something. Mm-hmm. And as a coach, I'm putting my coach hat back on here, boys, is, oh my gosh, actually, it had nothing to do with my doing. I knew I was already getting the clients. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was my thinking that was totally in the way of me actually getting the result that I wanted.
Yeah. Well.
Right? Like it was mind-blowing for me, so. And yes, I get coached because I can't see necessarily inside my brain. I can, that's my specialty to see inside yours. I need somebody to help me see mine.
Yeah.
Right? So.
It shows we all need help though, right? You shouldn't be scared to ask for it. You shouldn't be scared to go find it.
Yeah.
Be amazed what you can learn.
Yeah.
Even you, Phil.
Oh, no, no. I'm learning. Like I've been incredibly.
Get Joe Smarty Pantinating. Just sits there,
I'm
you know.
I'm just like, I've been listening and thinking.
You're scared
about
to talk.
It.
You're scared you're going to get smacked.
No, I'm not. It's a very odd podcast. I don't actually know where I am, I don't think. Things upside down, right? Like it's.
Well, it is kind of odd because typically I wouldn't have been thinking, okay, we're going to start with, you know, seriously, like Lori got her butt kicked. Lori has actual problems. Lori needs help.
Lori's human. Oh, my God.
Phil, where does that put me and Phil?
I don't know what happened. Like,
I don't know. I'm trying to get over that part of it.
You've got a nugget of wisdom in there somewhere. Like you actually, like you said, like Buddha there for like 30 seconds. Like, I didn't understand what happened.
Do it, man. You know, periodically. I mean, I have to dumb it down to a McDonald's for myself.
No, not periodically. That was the first one, I think. You know,
oh, wow. Really? Like out of 100 some episodes, that's the first one. I got to have at least one or two more out there somewhere. Go back and listen.
No, I'm pretty sure. I listen to each podcast at least 3 times, right? Because I'm producing them. So
I don't think you're hearing them, maybe not listening. That's a thing. Big difference.
Kenny had a nugget of wisdom. I love it. I love it so much.
You know what you need to do? Digital minimalism. Read the damn book. I told you.
All right.
I find so much time.
Did you have any thoughts about it reducing your business at all?
What's that?
Digital minimism?
No. Mm-hmm. No, because I'll tell you what I know definitively what I have found in the last 2 weeks is that the amount of time that I spent fiddle farting around on whether it was looking at pictures, looking at like the stuff you're doing is not producing anything anyway for the most part. You know, if you're updating your webpage, et cetera, because you know, that's, you're looking for more clients, then I think there's some validity there, but that then make it a task of working. But I find for the most part, when you're checking your phone 14 times a day, 15 times a day to see, you know, who's the pictures up right now or what's going on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, I hate to tell you that really, if you sat down and did the analysis of it, you're wasting a lot of time.
Oh,
because the value you get is not transferable to anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good to read articles. It's good to keep up to date. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But honestly, my phone time has gone down to like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour a day. And that means email, checking stocks. That's pretty much all I've got left on the phone. I mean, I don't really have anything else going on. Yeah. Right. I mean, what am I going to check? I've got nothing. I've got no social media platforms on it.
Wow.
I got nothing to check.
Wow, right, that's fantastic. Yeah.
So in the evenings, what I'll do is sometimes I'll just sit and watch a TV. If Amelia falls asleep, I pop onto LinkedIn for like 2 minutes, just look, see what's going on, off. I haven't checked Instagram in a week. I check Facebook just because I hate going on and finding 25 notifications, but I don't do anything. I'm not posting. I'm not checking other people's feeds. It's really just to clear that stupid number in the corner, which I just don't like seeing. Mm-hmm. Right? But that's it. It's done. I'm not doing it. It'd be like going into email saying, I want to have zero email. But I'm not reading them. I'm just deleting them. So I get to zero real fast. Where I know other people have spent 7 hours getting to zero, I don't know what, to what purpose. I got to zero right away. Just, you know, control all or A, delete. Like that, I was at zero. Just try it, Phil.
I've been stuck. So I'm kind of in the middle of the two of you, right? So I've been shrinking digital footprint a little bit. And spending time where it makes sense, right? So I don't post every day. I don't do any of that anyway. But I have made it a criteria, right? It's either got to be worthwhile. It either brings me joy, right? Because I'm posting something I really love. or it's insightful to me or my audience, I think, or it's about resharing something important, right? So those are the only things I do now. And I don't check all the time. I
check your phone time. Ever... Just watch your. You've got that app on Androids too, right?
But
you guys can do phone time or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And my phone time isn't crazy.
But see, I'm not even using the laptop really to do anything.
But once I factor out work, I think it's not so crazy. But I do a lot of like actual work on my phone, right? Because I'm able to do it. I think the other half though is, Lori, what I've been doing is thinking about the business a little bit differently. When I was doing the business before, it was number of projects that I could manage. And I've kind of reversed the flow now. So through some of the things that we've talked about, and then also Kenny, like watching you go through what you're going through, I've kind of just decided that what I really want to work is 40 hours a week. That's what I want to work, period. And so all of the conversations that I've had about upcoming gigs have been about, filling that 40 hour week,
Hours a week all in.
Correct.
Like weeks in a row or just like 1 week in the month?
No. No. It's about filling the month, right? Like, but
40 hours a week, every week. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my rates will actually reflect that now. And so,
How earlier to our earlier conversation then, if you have a thought and a belief that if you quote something for six and you'll just throw in another four, where does that four come from?
Yeah, it's impossible.
So the answer is it won't now. So now it fits in the six, right? So if I quoted six, that's what I'm doing. The other thought in there is that it's the only way to hold myself accountable as well, is now I have a number, right? Before it was like, you know, I need to fill jobs, right? And so it was like, oh, you know, how many jobs, you know, but it's like a roving number of how many jobs can I juggle, right? And so now I've said 40 hours, this is the rate I need, right? And so it also makes if I'm going to extend into the 4 hours, the truth be told is it's actually more worthwhile as well, right? Because if I plotted 6 hours, I'm geared towards a 40 hour work week and my rates reflect that. So obviously they're higher. And so if I'm going to extend into the 4 hours, I also know that I'm getting a little bit more value, because you think of it the other way. It's like, I have a rack rate. I discounted the rate. I said it was going to be 6 hours and now I've worked 10 hours. I might as well work at McDonald's because now I've made all my rates cheaper.
You know,
and so now I've said, I'm not going to do it. Right. So I know that, you know, in the early days, there's going to be a buffer, right? That I'm aiming for 40. I'll probably hit 50, you know, but that's okay, because I have geared my rates to be higher. And then if I'm losing folks, then I lose folks, right? Like I think to our point earlier is I kind of know what my value is now, so I'll lose them, but I haven't lost anyone, right? Everyone's been like, well, okay, yeah. You know, like, or the really great thing that we had that we haven't quite decided is one of them said, well, I can't really afford that. And I said, well, let's take apart what you actually think you're getting from me. Right. And so we're having a much better conversation, because now he's like, well, here's what I thought I was getting. And then that led me to say, well, you don't really need, you know, so I'll walk you through the conversation. So I'm there's a startup who's building some in-store executional stuff. Right. And they are, it's really cool technology. They're doing some really cool stuff. And they said, you know, come on board and help us. And I went, what does that mean? And they said, you know, we'd like you to help us with some branding stuff, some messaging, and then maybe even how we approach retailers or brands, you know, with this package. All right. So I quoted them out and said, listen, like, if you want me, this is how many hours. And I think that's going to work out to something like 7 to 10 hours a week. You know, because I could book you for the full 40, but you know, we can't do a full week's of work and then have you walk away. It's an iterative process. So I think you need me 7 to 10 hours a week for 4 weeks or 6 weeks is the packages I gave them. And he came back and said, oh, those rates are kind of high. I don't think I can do all that. And I went, all right, that's cool. do you want to figure it out and scale it back? But when we really took it apart, what he really needed me for was to figure out how to identify the need gaps that he was going after. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he didn't really need me to build a pitch. Like, he was clearly capable of building it, and he didn't need me to touch a single PowerPoint slide.
So he's gotten you doing what he needs you to do.
Right. And, but accomplished was I got a higher rate out of it without going, I'm this expensive and you need me.
Right.
I also drove lots of value because I said to him, okay, I quoted you 40 hours over 4 weeks, but you don't really need that. What you really need is, you know, like I lost some business out of it, but I got really focused business, right?
Right.
Because I'm really going to spend like 3 hours a week with him now. But at the end of it, he's going to be far more happy with what he got out of me, which will enable him to talk about me a little bit more. But it's also more worthwhile for me. I'm not going to be, you know, because those are the moments that I think make us bitch the most, right? Is when I'm like, fuck, I'm filling in a PowerPoint template. And I'm like, you know,
we start getting paid for it,
right? But the things that I don't really care about, and neither does the client, apparently, right? So do you know what I mean? Like, so the 40-hour work week has started to create a pressure point that I actually quite like, right?
So just walk me through this from my coaching lens, just so you've got that.
Yeah,
if that's the result that you want of 40 hours a week, then, okay, so really being really clear, I want to build a really good model for you. What would be the actual specific actions to hold you accountable for that?
So the actions, so the forcing mechanism is the 40 hours a week. So I do tally it, you know, so I was building proposals, I was tallying them, and then that forced me to do two things. One was it held me accountable to the number of hours I wanted to spend in the business, and then that I would spend time with the family, right? So I knew that at 40 hours, that's it, I'm done. I'm out, or really as close to that as I can get. It forced me then to look at, you know, we all want to hit a number. We all want to earn a certain amount of money. And so that made me do a little bit of what you were talking about is like, well, if I'm doing 40 hours, I'm getting $40 for the 40 hours. I'm being dramatic, but you know, then what the hell am I doing? I had 8 clients before filling in 60 hours. I was getting the same kind of rate. So what's happening here, right? So it allowed me to start to recalculate what I was doing. And it means that sometimes my rates will change a little, right? Because if I don't get enough clients in, then my rates drop because I take on more work. You know what I mean? Like that sort of thing, but I'm still filling the 40 hours, right? So those are kind of the forcing mechanisms.
Where in your 40 hours, and this is so unusual because this isn't normally where I coach from, but where on would you then allot your prospecting time within the 40 hours?
Yeah. So I usually keep prospecting time separate. Okay. So I have about 10 hours that I allocate for prospecting. So in my true bucket of time, I'm really looking at 50 hours a week.
Okay.
But so are you prospecting 10 hours a week or is it 10 hours a month?
It depends on what I'm doing, but it averages, no, actually 10 hours a week is a lot.
That sounds like a lot. I bet you're 10 hours a month.
It's probably more like,
because you've got stuff. Yeah. You're in the same boat and there's stuff out there. Like you're not really having to hunt.
No, I mean, I do a lot of networking still. So I probably do 2 to 3 networking coffees. Anyway, it's less than 10 hours a week, but more than 10 hours a month, I would say.
Okay.
Well, I wanted to make sure again that the 40 hours, right? But even earlier, you had said there's potentially the first out of the gate, you go to 50 hours.
Yeah.
Really now 60.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
Right.
So yeah.
Even the awareness of that, so that it's not this surprise, right? That all of a sudden, a minute.
Yeah. I think there's some built-in wag space knowing like I'm trying out this new model. Mm-hmm. But I think that's kind of where I want to eventually go is I kind of lock it down to, you know, like I think in like a month or two, I'll actually be able to say, look, like this is it, right? Like I'll be able to tell you like it comes in at 40, maybe I get out at 45. If I spend 3 hours a week extra on prospecting,
it's still under 50.
You know, I'm still under, do you know what I mean? Like, so that like at the end of this process, I'd like to be at a really tight kind of space of like, this is it, right? Like it's, you know, 50 hours a week and that's all I'm doing. That gets me to the number I want. It helps me drive the clients I need and the conversations I need to have, you know, so that it starts to like drive something pretty balanced, right? Because I recognize I want to be able to get to more things in my life too, right? So right. I don't want to, as much as I love what I do, which I do, I need to keep it as something I love. So if I'm doing 80 hours a week on this, I'm not going to love it for very long, right? Like 2 years into this, I'm going to go, God, I'm going to go find a job with the government and just like work a straight 37 and a half, right? Like, because I'm burning out, right? So,
what? How do you have to feel in order to do the 40 hours plus your prospecting time on top and holding accountable to that?
How do I have to feel? So I need to feel pressure, which is what I've done. So I've kind of created pressure for myself, right? Is that the math? I've started with just the hours that I need to work for clients, right? But that's the pressure I have to feel is that I'm squeezing it all into 40. I don't have time outside of that. Yeah.
How do you track time?
I have to. How do I track it?
Either of you, both of you.
I didn't before. Now I do it on paper. I literally have a little, no, I don't. I use a little, I have this, I don't know what it's called. It's a boogie board. One of these.
Mm-hmm.
And then you like, if you write on it, yeah, right. Yeah. And then I can wipe it out. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I keep this, I literally keep it, on magnets above my desk. And then as I'm writing, as I'm tracking projects, I'll write down, I'll tick it down like an hour. Mm-hmm. An hour here, an hour there, an hour here, an hour there.
How do you do it, Laura?
I'm on a set basis with my clients, and then anything over and above, because I do support them during the week, is my bonus time. And I love that. So,
mm-hmm.
Do you track it though? Track it? Like, do you actually get down to the hour? Do you know how many hours you work in a week?
Oh, I do, because all of my clients are sessions, right?
So yeah, that's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So really clear on that way. And which is interesting, I'm looking at a different model because that's getting full. So because apparently I love people and I bring people in. So now I'm going to more groups, right? Which is exciting. But there's this transition because I certainly do lots of evenings because my clients work days. So they want coaching in the evenings, and trying to find that balance of where that comes in for me is still a work in progress of being able to do that. So yeah. Interesting. I have not had the experience yet of having a client that has pressure as a feeling that gets results in a
something new. I just gave you something.
I'm dying to hear this one too, because thinking, wow, yeah. I'm not. That sounds almost like an oxymoron, but that's okay.
Well, no, and that just comes back to me. If it works for you, that's great. Yeah, I just haven't had a client yet that says, I want to feel, or the thought that I have is I'm squeezing it all in, makes me feel pressure. And when I'm under pressure, I'm going to do my prospecting, do my clients, make sure that I have 40, and I'm going to make sure the 40 that I have equals the amount of revenue that I want for the week. And then in doing all of that, I always go to the thought and I find the result in you. And it's like, you may actually feel squeezed. Is that going to work for you? And maybe it does.
I don't anticipate that the pressure is going to last. Like I think it's a management sort of thing. Okay. I think that it's a training sensation. It's almost like, do you remember before you were leaving for Hawaii? Do you know, and then like that leading weeks up to that, and you kind of feel like, I cannot, you know, because in your brain, at least in my brain, before I go on a trip, I start to sort out all the things that cannot be left before I go away. Must get done.
Yeah.
Everything from like, I got to feed the turtles, to I got to take out the garbage, to, you know, like all the things I need to set in motion. And so the 40-hour week for me is like, that's what it feels like, right? Is like there's this. So the beginning of the week, there it feels more hectic because there is this like, you know, like Friday at 6 p.m. I'm done, right? Like, Yeah.
I just want to ask whether or not, and this will be fun as we move forward to see if you can, because again, from the coaching lens, is there any way to still and play with it to get the results of the 40 hours actually from a state of, I don't know, like what, how else would you want to feel? And then we kind of play with that a little bit of what would you have to think in order to get that? Because is pressure going to be something that's sustainable for you in order to get that? No. That's all I'm wondering.
Yeah. 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 No, no. I anticipate, I think 3 to 4 months from now, the training will kick in place and I'll immediately look to make sure that I'm capping out at 40 hours. But in the meantime,
So I like even the thought of I have a plan.
Yeah.
Right? How does that thought make you feel?
I'm not that smart. It's I'm dying to see how this thing works. No, it's just because you know, like as a kid, even till now, right? I'm a deadline sort of guy, right? Like I'm smart enough not to really prepare, and smart enough to do it at the end. And that's something I've always done in my life. And so this, this pressure of this 40 hour is me trying to, I've tried to game this in different ways for my own brain and it doesn't work for me. So what works is for me to learn based on deadline and go, is it 40 hours.
All right. That's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more commerce news.